I just want to say on the behalf of Church Intercontinental Church of God, welcome everyone, Pentecost weekend 2010. Also want to say that it is an honor and a privilege to speak to such a distinguished audience. I have to open with a joke, get things going. A rabbi and a priest get into a car accident, and it's a bad one. Both cars are totally demolished, but amazingly, neither are hurt. After they crawl out of their cars, the rabbi sees the priest's collar and says, "Oh, so you're a priest. Well, I'm a rabbi." "Oh, just look at our cars. There's nothing left. But we're unhurt. This must be a sign from God. God must have meant us to meet and be friends." The rabbi continues, "And look at this. Here's another miracle. My car is completely demolished, but this bottle of Mogan David wine didn't break. Surely God wants us to drink this wine and celebrate our good fortune." Then he hands the bottle to the priest, and the priest takes a few big swigs and hands the bottle back to the rabbi. The rabbi takes the bottle and immediately puts the cap back on and hands it back to the priest. The priest asks, "Aren't you going to have any?" The rabbi replies, "No, I'm just going to wait for the police." Well, 49 days ago, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, back in the time of the Levitical priesthood, the high priest would have cut off a sheaf of barley, such as this in front, and wave it towards heaven as a type of first fruits, the first of the first harvest. This ceremony pictures Jesus Christ as being the first of the first resurrection, being separated from the world, having his human body changed, and being accepted by the Father as a perfect and holy sacrifice for us. He showed us the way, and through his sacrifice, he also provided that way. The same Jesus said, and I quote, "Before Adam was, I am." This world goes on today like any other day, unaware of today's importance. What goes on in the world today is, for the most part, unimportant to God. But that we choose to be here today is very important to God. He looks at us, his people, his church, and sees a following of committed members of the body of Christ, committed to following his commandments and holding on to the truth, that first love that means so very much to us. Let's look at some of this truth. Let's go to Leviticus 23 and start in verse 9. Leviticus 23 and verse 9. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye become into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye have offer that day when ye wave the sheaf a he lamb, a male lamb without blemish, which represents Jesus Christ, of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Let's drop down to verse 15. "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord." We have two things going on here. The first one we have in the wave sheaf offering, it is a first fruits, first of the first fruits, which is represents Jesus Christ. And in verse 17, notice that these loaves are baked with leavening. Well, Jesus Christ is always represented as unleavened, without sin. These loaves represent us, human beings seated here today. We are with leaven. They represent us as being a kind of first fruits also. Let's go to Romans 8:22. Romans 8:22 says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently." We are the first fruits of the fruit of the Spirit, given on Pentecost tomorrow. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 20. It says, "But Christ has indeed raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as Adam all die, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him," that is us. That represents us seated here today. This is the first fruits, and it's represented by those two loaves back in Leviticus. The two loaves baked with leavening. They represent you and I here today. Let's go to Revelation 20, verse 4. "I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast nor his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests to God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And then when these events take place and we long for them and we're resurrected from our sleep as it is written, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead shall be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now consider this. At this time, when the member of the Godhead who became Jesus Christ, the great I Am, at the last trump reaches out to you and says, "Welcome, you that have overcome the world as I have. For it is our good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be back here since last year. Good to see all the faces. Couldn't remember all the names. But we're one day away from the Pentecost. What I kind of want to talk about today a little bit is the Lord Jesus as a young baby and a young boy. Of course, we know in the beginning was the Word was with God, became flesh and dwelt among us, existed then. And if you would you turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, please. I just go right at it, don't I? Verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the premises. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. We notice that there is duality everywhere throughout the Bible. Members of the Godhead are revealed, and there's duality. The Father and the Son. Therefore, in our modern English language, the beginning of the text of the Bible would be more understanding if it were written, "Thus in the beginning, the family of God consists of the Father and the Son, created the heavens and the earth." In John 1, verse 1, we read that. When did the family, when did the Lord Jesus, the child, start to remember these different things? You know, He was born a little bitty baby just like us. And it was in a different way, a miracle. Of course, in Genesis 1, verse 1, the Hebrew word for God is Elohim. It is an interesting word with a plural from the Enumenti. With a little research, one can demonstrate that the Elohim can indicate more than one, a family or persons. Means more than one. And we are part of the family. Well, His earthly parents, Mary and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, His cousin. They were second cousins. Zechariah, the father of John. A small group of people living a sincerely righteous life within the intent of the laws of God. The Lord Jesus, as a young baby, do you suppose He ever cried or maybe nicked Himself like another child would? Well, sure. Well, yes. He had pain. Maybe walked, maybe failed or stumbled, but He got back up, just as our children do. How far back can you remember? 3 or 4 or 5 years old? Do you remember your father maybe playing with you and pulling a ball, telling you to get it or stop? Don't run out in front of a car. Or playing games. Or who taught you to tie your shoes? Your father? A father's love. Or did he teach you to ride a bicycle? You know, we can go back and remember all these things. And I believe He did quite often. Can you believe that Jesus Christ, in the beginning of learning words, just like we had to learn words? See, these are things that we sometimes don't think about. But when we see our own little children, we do. But you know, there was one thing that He had that was different than us. He was born full of the Holy Spirit. That was the difference. He never sinned. We can't say that. At 12 years old, could he be teaching, begin to be teaching his brothers and sisters? Could he begin to be teaching? I would say so. Because they knew a lot. But they had to be careful. And you know, his mother, Mary, that angel appeared to her. Mary must have told him, "You are a miracle child. You were made differently. You came differently. You are a prince. And you will become a king, the king of Israel. You will become the king of Israel for your people. And the Messiah for all mankind, the Savior of this world." And I'm sure he spoke and told, she spoke and told him that occasionally. Just like when she asked him to turn the water into wine. He didn't refuse her. He had done miracles before, I'm sure, because she knew it. A converted person who has repented and been baptized and received God's Holy Spirit, is still mostly carnal. But that little bit of spirit is what gives us the strength to overcome. We have received a little earnest, or a little bit of the down payment of the Holy Spirit. But even as Paul told the Corinthian church members of Corinth, it is yet cardinal. The Holy Spirit is there in the man, but in a comparative small amount. It's a small amount. And as Paul explained, helps us resist the cardinal pulls. It helps us to resist the cardinal pulls. You know, Paul said he repented, sometimes daily. I had a friend ask me, he says, "Claude, I'm going through a little bit of a difficulty." I said, "That's all right. Just pray, hang on, and you'll come through it." But however, sometimes we lose it, don't we? Yes, for just a little bit. We lose it. But you know, all we have to do is pray. And he's right there. I've heard the preachers in this church say that over and over. And I've even heard Mr. Ted Armstrong say it. And I remember the first time I ever heard Mr. Ted Armstrong. It was wonderful. Good news, understanding. You could understand it. There was something about it that you just wanted to hang on to it and not let it go. It was simple to understand because I sure don't have a lot of education in book learning. Paul said, "The things that I hate, I do, and that which I would do, I cannot seem to do. Not so with Christ." See, the things that Paul tried to do was right. He seemed to couldn't do them. He had trouble, didn't he? "Not so with Christ, even as a tiny child. The Holy Spirit is the answer for us and the way as we go forwards. As Mike spoke up here a little bit ago. The Holy Spirit is the answer to our hope in truth. And you know, tomorrow is Pentecost, the day it was given. It was sent back to the people there. And as Peter and John went in through the gate, we all know that story. Wonderful time. It's wonderful to see all the people here. Even as a tiny child, through Christ, all things are possible. There's no other name in heaven on the earth, under the earth, in the sea, under the sea, in the whole universe. There's no other name other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that man can find salvation through. And that's the wonderful thing about it. Thank you.